been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Wednesday morning. It is the Sweetheart Valentine's. I'll try to have a sweetheart of a show today here on this February the 14th. This is Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management in a sweet city, San Diego, California. Carlsbad, to be exact. And we do have the market down this morning. We've got a split market right now. We have split personalities here. We've got the Dow down 80 points right now, and the NASDAQ is up 7 as we got a hotter-than-expected inflation report today, which I've been predicting. S&P 500 is down 5 points right now, 2,657. The Dow, with this 80-point drop, is at 24,560. The NASDAQ with this 11-point gain. Hey, we're back above 7,000 on the NASDAQ. 7,025. The Russell 2000 is down just a little bit here this morning, 0.7%. Crude oil is down 1.2%. Crude is at 58.46. I'd have to say that's one of the reasons behind the drop in the Dow, is there has been pressure on crude oil prices here recently. Gold is up $7.30 per ounce this morning. On that hotter-than-expected inflation report, gold is at $1,337. Well, it's going to take more dollars to buy gold, isn't it? That drives gold prices higher. The 10-year yield is also pounding higher today. This is the highest print we've had in a while. I think we got up to 2.90, maybe. We're at 2.88 this morning as the bond market continues to fall off a cliff. The VIX, very quiet today. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management in San Diego, California. Hey, there's no excuse today. I mean, you can get flowers at Home Depot, that romantic store, you know. They've got flowers. You get flowers at Costco. You can get flowers at the gas station, for heaven's sakes. I don't want to hear any excuses today on this Valentine's Day, February the 14th. Well, you know, I've been predicting rising inflation. Although much of what Trump is doing is stoking the economy, it's also inflationary in nature, especially when you have the unemployment rate so low, and we're finally starting to see some advances in pay for folks getting pay raises. It's a tight labor market, and that is inflationary in nature. Today's CPI release, it's interesting to take a look back at the chronological order of the news events today. When I checked the futures a couple hours before the market opened, I saw that the futures were up 130 points. And then I heard the inflation report come in about an hour before the open of the market on Bloomberg. Maybe it was a half an hour before. And all of a sudden, the futures went from up 130 or 200, something like that, to down 230. So a 500-point drop in the futures after that inflation report. Why in the world, Mr. Gunderson, does inflation impact the economy and the stock market? Well, you have to think of the economy really in one word: consumer. It's the consumer, the stupid consumer like me and you, who wait until the last day to buy flowers. So we pay up. We pay a premium to get flowers today. We should have ordered them last week. If you want delivery today, you're going to pay through the nose today. The consumer drives the economy. I know you think about Boeing and their big jets that they're selling and all of this other stuff, oil that we're pumping out of the ground in the Williston Basin. It's the consumer that makes up 80% of the economy. So anything that comes along that impacts the consumer impacts the economy. And the economy impacts the stock market. So it's pretty easy to figure out the correlation between inflation, the consumer, the economy, and the stock market. If it costs more to buy goods, because goods are rising in price, that drives down the consumer's buying power. If it takes more of his dollars to buy those flowers the day of Valentine's Day, he's not going to have enough money left over for the chocolates, is he? That $30 that I was going to spend for a pound of See's chocolates went to the delivery guy because I waited until the last minute and had to pay a premium delivery charge at this late date. See, impacts, crimps the consumer. Rising interest rates crimp the consumer, right? If you're paying more in interest rates going to the bank, oh, they're on the receiving end. Oh, now wait a minute. No wonder the banking sector is perking up here. They're going to get some of those consumer dollars in the way of interest as opposed to See's Chocolates, which is owned by Warren Buffett, by the way. I hate to see Berkshire Hathaway on my California brittle. That's my favorite. It's those chocolate-covered brittles, you know, they're crunchy and they're butterscotch. Oh, man, they're good. But anyways, the bank's receiving more of that money because the consumer's paying a higher interest rate. The hotels are receiving less of the consumer's money. Home Depot's receiving less of the consumer's money because he's paying more to the bank and the mortgage company. So anything, when any time an economic report comes out, think of the consumer. Now, rising wages are a good thing. That puts more money in the consumer's pocket, but that's being offset right now by higher interest rates and inflationary pressures on the market. I listened again to Mr. Trump's roundtable. I believe it was yesterday. They were talking trade. No, they were talking infrastructure yesterday. But he always editorializes when the cameras are on him. The guy knows how to work the cameras. He knows when the people are watching and the cameras are on. He knows that that's his chance for free airtime. And he editorializes about trade. And other countries are listening. I'm sure that Germany's listening when he rattles the saber against those German cars coming into the U.S. with no import taxes on them. And how few Chevrolets there are in Germany because they slap a export tax, an import tax on us. He railed on the Chinese about, or no, the Koreans he railed on about the motorcycles they ship to us and the huge tax they slap upon Harley-Davidsons on Harley-Davidsons that are sold in South Korea. That's called an unfair trade balance. That's not fair trade at all. That's favorable trade for Korea. But what he wants to do by slapping a tax on their imports, on imports from Japan, China, Korea, etc., that's inflationary in nature, right? That would drive up prices. And protectionism is inflationary in nature. I think a good example of that would be if you go to Japan, see, they have very strict protectionism on their beef and cattle industry. They're not letting in Midwestern beef unless they slap a big tax on it. They're trying to protect their Kobe beef industry. You're going to pay a lot more for a filet mignon in Tokyo than you are in Houston because they are protectionist of that industry. In San Diego, we're known for our avocados, Fallbrook. The avocado capital of the world, just about 30 miles up the road from us here in Carlsbad. They were against the NAFTA, the part of NAFTA that allowed in South America and Mexican avocados. It drove prices down. In fact, most of the avocado farms in Fallbrook, they can't afford to stay in business. Between the price of the water and all the regulations coming from Governor Brown in California and all the other things, they just can't even compete anymore. But the winner in that equation is the consumer who pays $1.49 for an avocado at Ralph's when they're on sale versus the $2.99 that we used to pay. $3 we used to pay for an avocado. $3.50 sometimes if there's a bad crop or a wind knocks them to the ground or whatever. So protectionism is inflationary in nature. We got a hotter than expected inflation print. How's the market reacting? It's down because it impacts the consumer, who impacts the economy, who impacts the stock market. See, it's as simple as guacamole. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back.
Is your IRA being managed by a robot? Does a nameless, faceless computer program make automatic decisions about what to do with your hard-earned money? Perhaps your employer conveniently invested your retirement with a supercomputer mega big box warehouse brokerage firm, and now you're simply thought of as just another number in a vast sea of millions. This is Rob Sanford for Gunderson Capital Management, and I'm here to testify that Bill Gunderson is no robot. I've seen him. Bill is in the office every single day from bell to bell, personally and actively managing the accounts of every single client. He never leaves the helm or turns over the wheelhouse to some junior trainee or office deckhand. He's the skipper. His decisions are thorough, well thought out, researched, and conducted with great care. So give Gunderson Capital Management a call at 855-611-BEST. If you're driving right now and can't write it down, just search Bill Gunderson on the web when you get home. So say goodbye to the robot and shake hands with Bill Gunderson today.
Bill Gunderson's Best Stocks Now newsletter gave a buy signal on the market on March 27, 2009. That was just 18 days after the S&P 500 had finally hit bottom at 666. The buy signal has been in place ever since. How valuable was that call in the weekly newsletter to investors? The market has more than doubled since then. While market pundits were clamoring about a collapsing dollar, runaway inflation, and soaring gold prices, Bill Gunderson's Best Stocks Now newsletter told investors that stocks were the best place to be. Bill Gunderson is not a permabull, however. At some point in the future, the newsletter will give a sell signal. Investors, be warned. The last bear market took 53% out of the S&P 500. Why not sign up for a free 4-week trial to Bill Gunderson's Best Stocks Now newsletter? You can do so by visiting his website at pwstreet.com. Again, that's pwstreet.com.
Would you like to ask Bill Gunderson a question on the air? Perhaps your investments aren't doing as well as you think they should, or you have an individual stock, index, or mutual fund that you'd like him to discuss. Well, this is your opportunity to hear him answer your question live on the Best Stocks Now radio show. Simply email your question to us by going to the contact page at GundersonCapital.com or call us at 855-611-BEST. That's 855-611-2378. And we'll select a question or two each week to be read live on the air. Please leave your name and city when asking a question. You'll be a part of the weekly Ask Bill segment on the Bill Gunderson Radio Show. If your question is chosen to be read on the air, we'll send you an autographed copy of Bill's book, Best Stocks Now. So go to GundersonCapital.com or record your question 24 hours a day at 855-611-BEST. What's your question?
There are a lot of investors out there in today's world that enjoy managing their own money. There's nothing wrong with this, but maybe you should manage a small portion of your overall portfolio and let a professional money manager manage your serious money. Just like you don't learn how to be an accomplished golfer by spending a few hours on the golf course or at the driving range on the weekends, it takes years of experience to even begin to understand how the financial markets work. And even then, it still takes hours and hours every day to stay on top of an ever-changing marketplace. There are numerous pitfalls that can stand in the way of the part-time investor. If a constant barrage of contradictory opinions keeps you from being able to make sound decisions, if you have a hard time keeping your emotions in check, or if you're continually selling at the bottom and buying at the top, then maybe it's time to consider a full-time professional money manager. Give the folks at Gunderson Capital Management a call and let Bill Gunderson manage your money. You can reach them at 855-611-BEST. That's 855-611-BEST or pwstreet.com.
And welcome back here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour with Bill Gunderson. Now that you know how guacamole and chips, in fact, impacts your 401k, you know, the CPI number was not that bad. It came in at 0.5 for January. 0.5. Obviously, if you annualize that, that would be 6%. But when we look back over the last year, inflation has come in at about 1.7%. And so it's still pretty benign, but it is definitely starting to heat up. And when we got that inflation report, the market went down 250 negative from 150 positive. We saw short-term rates sell off very hard. And we also saw the long-term rates sell off, long-term 10-year futures down. We saw the dollar rally on that. And so it does impact the rest of the market. But really what we're interested in as investors in stocks and in the market is how it impacts the consumer. Well, you know, on the same day that the inflation numbers came out, retail sales fell unexpectedly. I think this is more of a weather thing myself, but January retail sales minus 0.3%. We were looking for plus 0.2%, and it was really the automobile sector that dragged down retail sales, but nearly every category showed positive growth on a year-over-year basis, which was 3.9%. So year over year, pretty good. And you had 1 month, January, which was soft. And it basically came down to the automobile sector. And also we saw personal care stores group fall off. That's like Ulta Beauty, Sally's Beauty, Walgreens, Rite Aid. And the department store sales rose 0.8% in January, which matches my thesis that the consumer is pretty vibrant still. But all of these inflation numbers, retail sales numbers, they're forward-looking. And some investors take a look at that and say, well, down the road, the consumer is not going to be as buoyant as they are right now. In addition to that, the consumer's getting more and more strapped with debt. U.S. household debt soars above $13 trillion. Well, you know, between the government's $20 trillion in debt, U.S. household debt of $13 trillion, that's a lot of debt floating around. What would Dave Ramsey say, being debt-free, which I think is a good way to go if you can do it? But the consumer debt, household debt, continues to rise. And that also impacts the consumer, right? If your credit card is maxed out, your buying power is limited. If you're going to pay $80 for those flower delivery todays and you got a maxed out credit card, pal, $13 trillion in debt, you're in big trouble. No money left in the debit account either. So anything that impacts the consumer impacts the stock market. Meanwhile, we look across the pond in Europe. They have a very vibrant economy right now. But having said that, you know, Europe continues to rely on monetary policy alone. When's the last time you saw a tax cut in Paris, in France, in Germany? They just don't believe in monetary or fiscal policy at all. Driving George Harrison nuts. Remember his song, The Tax Man? He did not like The Tax Man. In fact, I watched a good biography of George Harrison. There's a new one out on Netflix. It's long. It's two parts, but very interesting. The Beatle did everything he could do to avoid taxes. He practiced what he sang in his song, The Tax Man. And in the end, he had a home in Switzerland so that he could beat the taxes in the UK. But that monetary policy has only gotten the Eurozone to 2.5% growth. That seems like that's where it maxed out, living off of monetary policy alone, which we did for 8 years under the Obama administration. Obama did nothing to stoke the economy other than keeping interest rates at zero. And that kept that tepid growth going of about 2% here in the U.S. Now along comes Trump. We've got the monetary policy drying up. They're going the other way. They're tightening now, and Trump comes in with a big dose of fiscal policy, which I guess is a Republican idea, a conservative idea. Let's give the government less money, and let's put more money in the hands of the consumer. Oh, no wonder the stock market has taken off, because if the consumer drives the economy and all of a sudden the consumer has more money in their pockets, and don't forget the money that is in the pockets of the big corporations that now can do mergers, acquisitions, give pay raises, give bonuses, increase their benefits programs. Now there's more money in the private sector versus the government sector. Because monetary policy alone, look at Europe. They've gotten 2.5%. Japan, which has the weakest, the loosest monetary policy in the world, is growing at 0.5%. 0.5. Europe's getting 2.5, as the U.S. is moving towards 3, maybe 3.5. Their goal is to get to 4. It remains to be seen whether or not we'll get to that. FINRA investigating the VIX manipulation. Remember those two ETFs? You know, every week in my newsletter, I show the leading indexes from around the world. Look, everybody's eligible. I'm an equal opportunity investor. If the best index is the Switzerland index or the Belgium index or the Thailand index or the Chinese index or the volatility index, you have to take those into consideration. What has been the worst performing index at the bottom of the heap for the last couple of years? The VIX index, VXX, which is an index. It measures volatility in the stock market. All of 2017, the biggest correction that we had last year was 3%. That's why January's correction came as such a shock to the system of most investors. And that's why a lot of them went fleeing in early December, because they hadn't seen a 9 or 10% correction for 18 months. Where did that come from? I didn't know that the market could go to 9 or 10% in a matter of a week. Ouch, I'm out of here. Well, where are you going to run to? The bond market? You going to run to the bank where they're offering those juicy CDs these days? You know, pretty much the only game in town still is the stock market. But that volatility index really got whacked last week. As volatility spiked, it was the inverse side of the equation that just went poof. Well, when we come back, we'll talk about some best stocks now. This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now.
When you lose power for a whole day due to a storm, it can seem endless. But there's a new kind of storm brewing, one that could target our nation's power grid and turn off the power not just for days, but months or even longer. Would you be prepared? Veteran news anchor Ted Koppel's new book, Lights Out, details this exact scenario. It's why many Americans are securing their own solar-powered generators to provide an endless supply of life-saving electricity without gas, fumes, or noise. When it comes to lightweight and powerful solar generators, the breakthrough Patriot Power Generator 1500 has it all, providing up to 1,500 continuous watts of clean, quiet, and free renewable solar power. You'll be able to power heat and lights, preserve food, recharge cell phones and computers, and keep critical medical devices going day after day, all from rechargeable solar power. If a blackout strikes, be protected with the power you need when you need it most. The Patriot Power Generator 1500. For all of the details, just go to blackout26.com. That's blackout26.com. blackout26.com.
Is your IRA being managed by a robot? Does a nameless, faceless computer program make automatic decisions about what to do with your hard-earned money? Perhaps your employer conveniently invested your retirement with a supercomputer mega big box warehouse brokerage firm, and now you're simply thought of as just another number in a vast sea of millions. This is Rob Sanford for Gunderson Capital Management, and I'm here to testify that Bill Gunderson is no robot. I've seen him. Bill is in the office every single day from bell to bell, personally and actively managing the accounts of every single client. He never leaves the helm or turns over the wheelhouse to some junior trainee or office deckhand. He's the skipper. His decisions are thorough, well thought out, researched, and conducted with great care. So give Gunderson Capital Management a call at 855-611-BEST. If you're driving right now and can't write it down, just search Bill Gunderson on the web when you get home. So say goodbye to the robot and shake hands with Bill Gunderson today.
Would you like to ask Bill Gunderson a question on the air? Perhaps your investments aren't doing as well as you think they should, or you have an individual stock, index, or mutual fund that you'd like him to discuss. Well, this is your opportunity to hear him answer your question live on the Best Stocks Now radio show. Simply email your question to us by going to the contact page at GundersonCapital.com or call us at 855-611-BEST. That's 855-611-2378. And we'll select a question or two each week to be read live on the air. Please leave your name and city when asking a question, and you'll be a part of the weekly Ask Bill segment on the Bill Gunderson Radio Show. If your question is chosen to be read on the air, we'll send you an autographed copy of Bill's book, Best Stocks Now. So go to GundersonCapital.com or record your question 24 hours a day at 855-611-BEST. What's your question?
Bill Gunderson's Best Stocks Now newsletter gave a buy signal on the market on March 27, 2009. That was just 18 days after the S&P 500 had finally hit bottom at 666. The buy signal has been in place ever since. How valuable was that call in the weekly newsletter to investors? The market has more than doubled since then. While market pundits were clamoring about a collapsing dollar, runaway inflation, and soaring gold prices, Bill Gunderson's Best Stocks Now newsletter told investors that stocks were the best place to be. Bill Gunderson is not a permabull, however. At some point in the future, the newsletter will give a sell signal. Investors, be warned. The last bear market took 53% out of the S&P 500. Why not sign up for a free 4-week trial to Bill Gunderson's Best Stocks Now newsletter? You can do so by visiting his website at pwstreet.com. Again, that's pwstreet.com.
There are a lot of investors out there in today's world that enjoy managing their own money. There's nothing wrong with this, but maybe you should manage a small portion of your overall portfolio and let a professional money manager manage your serious money. Just like you don't learn how to be an accomplished golfer by spending a few hours on the golf course or at the driving range on the weekends, it takes years of experience to even begin to understand how the financial markets work. And even then, it still takes hours and hours every day to stay on top of an ever-changing marketplace. There are numerous pitfalls that can stand in the way of the part-time investor. If a constant barrage of contradictory opinions keeps you from being able to make sound decisions, if you have a hard time keeping your emotions in check, or if you're continually selling at the bottom and buying at the top, then maybe it's time to consider a full-time professional money manager. Give the folks at Gunderson Capital Management a call and let Bill Gunderson manage your money. You can reach them at 855-611-BEST. That's 855-611-BEST or pwstreet.com.
And welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. And the market has recovered here, most of its losses. In fact, I see is the Dow gone positive here. No, still down. But it did go positive there for a bit on today's hot No, the Dow's positive now. Okay. And the NASDAQ's up 46 just like that. Look at that. Which is going to lead me here to a couple of best stocks now that I want to talk about here today. The first one on my mind is Netflix. I hear these pundits every morning on the Fox Business Channel and on CNBC. I wouldn't buy it here, Jack, you know, or Stuart. You know, it's just too it's been going up for the last 10 years, pal. Why wouldn't you buy it? Well, Netflix made a big hire. Netflix is really turning into a media giant. I mean, I watched Netflix last night. No, we watched the Olympics last night, which was not on Netflix. We were rooting for Shaun White, who was a Carlsbad resident. His home was maybe three blocks from where my office is here in Carlsbad. And, of course, Shaun White came through, won the snowboarding, which my brothers in Norway, they I don't know if they snowboard. They're those ski jumpers, you know. They're those guys that like to get way up in high and get out over the tips of their skis. I used to do that, but it was by accident. It wasn't on purpose. All of a sudden, I'd hit some rock, and I'd be airborne in Utah. Well, Netflix is a media giant. In fact, I remember the first decade of this millennium. Remember when we had the turnover from 1999 to 2000 and all the scares about, you know, the computers messing up and everything like this? Well, anyways, the first 10 years of this millennium, the stock of the decade was Monster Energy, believe it or not. It was. And I used to report on Monster Energy. Monster Energy was a little company in Corona, California. The name of it was Hansen's Juice. And Papa Hansen, you know, he delivered organic juices around to companies and industries and residences and whatnot. And the sons came along and said, "We need to pep this thing up a little bit, Papa Hansen." And they came up with Monster Energy. And they changed the name of the company from Hansen's Natural Juices to Monster Energy. And it became the Monster stock of the first 10 years of this millennium. Now, of course, Monster is a, let's see how big Monster is, M-N-S-T. If you've listened to my show over the years, I talked about Monster many, many times. Monster is now a 36 billion dollar empire. I mean, it's one-fifth the size of Coca-Cola, and it grew from that little organic juice stand that Papa Hansen had there in Corona. Well, I would say that the stock of this decade, I'm talking 2010 to 2020, is Netflix. Netflix is my largest holding at Gunderson Capital Management. Netflix on this hire is having another terrific day today. Netflix is now a $115 billion company. How does that compare to CBS? CBS is only $22 billion. Netflix has surpassed one of the biggest networks in the world. CBS is a $22 billion company. Netflix is $115 billion. And, of course, Netflix started out with the idea of mailing you your DVD instead of going to the video store and picking it up yourself. But they've evolved over the years into the CDs, or, yeah, DVDs. Originally, it was the cassettes, the big cassettes, the Beta and the, I can't even remember the names anymore. Technology's moving so quickly. Then it went to streaming. Now it's all this original content on Netflix, and they continue to do just fine. Look at it. Take a look at the performance over the last 10 years of Netflix. The market, if we go back 10 years ago today, the market has been averaging 7% per year. That's the S&P 500. While the S&P has been averaging 7% per year, Netflix, the return of that stock, has averaged 56% per year. That's eight times better, the returns of the S&P 500. And it's only gotten better in recent years. Over the last 5 years, Netflix has returned 79% per year. That's all capital appreciation. I don't believe there's any dividend whatsoever involved. Now, when they start paying a dividend, it's time to sell Netflix as a growth stock, just like Apple. About the time Apple started paying a dividend, it was over as a growth stock. Netflix does not pay a dividend. It's pure growth. Over the last 3 years, Netflix has delivered to investors 77.4% per year, while the market's delivered 8.2. That's nine times better than the market. No wonder it's the best stock now. Over the last 12 months, Netflix is up 94%. The market's up 14%. Imagine when TV first came on board, you know, black and white, Zenith, whatever it was, RCA, Victor. And these network, a new industry was born. The network, CBS and NBC, and along came ABC at some point. Now there's cable and all kinds of stuff out there to choose from for content. But Netflix is in the sweet spot right now as the industry is undergoing a major transition, major transformation. Netflix was a very disruptive, one of the biggest disruptors of all time. And it continues today. If we look at the performance grade of Netflix versus all of the stocks in my database, which currently is 5,544, and that includes ETFs and mutual funds, Netflix gets an A-plus performance grade. And the momentum recently of Netflix remains strong. The momentum is A. That's how it's done for us recently. And I continue to own Netflix in both my large cap premier growth portfolio and my ultra growth portfolio. That's how well I like Netflix, which is our largest holding at Gunderson Capital Management. It's in my growth portfolios. It's not in my income portfolio, but it's in my two growth portfolios. My valuation on Netflix currently stands at $450 5 years from now. And the stock is currently trading at $268. Out of 5,544 stocks, it's ranked number 7 overall. Another nice feature of the app, you can go back 1 year ago today. You know where Netflix was ranked a year ago today? Number 8. Overall. And in that 12-month period of time, since it's been rated number 8, today it's number 7, yesterday it was number 2 overall, over the last 12 months, the stock is up 94%. Then, another good feature of the app is you can go down and read all of Bill's comments on the stock recently. January 29th, I sent out a tweet. I am happy with my Netflix again today, still my largest position. You can go back to January 25th. Can you believe Netflix again today? Crazy. This is my largest position by far. I'm happy. You can go back to 2017 when I featured it. You can click on that and watch my feature that I did on my show of the stock. Of its momentum, of its valuation, of its stock chart. You can go back clear to way back in time. Back on November 11th, 2015, you can view my analysis then. It was a six-minute analysis that I did back when I was filming my shows, which I'm going to start doing again at some point in time. You can go clear back to 2013. When I featured Netflix, all right. I don't have one. There were some times I was out of Netflix for a while. Netflix had some issues there along the way. It has been a little bit of a bouncy ride. I remember when they raised their subscriptions on everybody without warning them. That was a big bump in the road. But they're going good now, and it's my largest position here. When we come back, I got another one I want to talk about. That was Netflix. Not a recommendation. I just give examples of best stocks now. You consult your advisor. All right? We'll be right back.
Is your IRA being managed by a robot? Does a nameless, faceless computer program make automatic decisions about what to do with your hard-earned money? Perhaps your employer conveniently invested your retirement with a supercomputer mega big box warehouse brokerage firm, and now you're simply thought of as just another number in a vast sea of millions. This is Rob Sanford for Gunderson Capital Management, and I'm here to testify that Bill Gunderson is no robot. I've seen him. Bill is in the office every single day from bell to bell, personally and actively managing the accounts of every single client. He never leaves the helm or turns over the wheelhouse to some junior trainee or office deckhand. He's the skipper. His decisions are thorough, well thought out, researched, and conducted with great care. So give Gunderson Capital Management a call at 855-611-BEST. If you're driving right now and can't write it down, just search Bill Gunderson on the web when you get home. So say goodbye to the robot and shake hands with Bill Gunderson today.
Bill Gunderson's Best Stocks Now newsletter gave a buy signal on the market on March 27, 2009. That was just 18 days after the S&P 500 had finally hit bottom at 666. The buy signal has been in place ever since. How valuable was that call in the weekly newsletter to investors? The market has more than doubled since then. While market pundits were clamoring about a collapsing dollar, runaway inflation, and soaring gold prices, Bill Gunderson's Best Stocks Now newsletter told investors that stocks were the best place to be. Bill Gunderson is not a permabull, however. At some point in the future, the newsletter will give a sell signal. Investors, be warned. The last bear market took 53% out of the S&P 500. Why not sign up for a free 4-week trial to Bill Gunderson's Best Stocks Now newsletter? You can do so by visiting his website at pwstreet.com. Again, that's pwstreet.com.
Would you like to ask Bill Gunderson a question on the air? Perhaps your investments aren't doing as well as you think they should, or you have an individual stock, index, or mutual fund that you'd like him to discuss. Well, this is your opportunity to hear him answer your question live on the Best Stocks Now radio show. Simply email your question to us by going to the contact page at GundersonCapital.com or call us at 855-611-BEST. That's 855-611-2378. And we'll select a question or two each week to be read live on the air. Please leave your name and city when asking a question. You'll be a part of the weekly Ask Bill segment on the Bill Gunderson Radio Show. If your question is chosen to be read on the air, we'll send you an autographed copy of Bill's book, Best Stocks Now. So go to GundersonCapital.com or record your question 24 hours a day at 855-611-BEST. What's your question?
When you lose power for a whole day due to a storm, it can seem endless. But there's a new kind of storm brewing, one that could target our nation's power grid and turn off the power not just for days, but months or even longer. Would you be prepared? Veteran news anchor Ted Koppel's new book, Lights Out, details this exact scenario. It's why many Americans are securing their own solar-powered generators to provide an endless supply of life-saving electricity without gas, fumes, or noise. When it comes to lightweight and powerful solar generators, the breakthrough Patriot Power Generator 1500 has it all, providing up to 1,500 continuous watts of clean, quiet, and free renewable solar power. You'll be able to power heat and lights, preserve food, recharge cell phones and computers, and keep critical medical devices going day after day, all from rechargeable solar power. If a blackout strikes, be protected with the power you need when you need it most. The Patriot Power Generator 1500. For all of the details, just go to blackout26.com. That's blackout26.com. Blackout26.com.
There are a lot of investors out there in today's world that enjoy managing their own money. There's nothing wrong with this, but maybe you should manage a small portion of your overall portfolio and let a professional money manager manage your serious money. Just like you don't learn how to be an accomplished golfer by spending a few hours on the golf course or at the driving range on the weekends, it takes years of experience to even begin to understand how the financial markets work. And even then, it still takes hours and hours every day to stay on top of an ever-changing marketplace. There are numerous pitfalls that can stand in the way of the part-time investor. If a constant barrage of contradictory opinions keeps you from being able to make sound decisions, if you have a hard time keeping your emotions in check, or if you're continually selling at the bottom and buying at the top, then maybe it's time to consider a full-time professional money manager. Give the folks at Gunderson Capital Management a call and let Bill Gunderson manage your money. You can reach them at 855-611-BEST. That's 855-611-BEST or pwstreet.com.
We'll be right back.
here to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Well, we had a little bit of a scare this morning on the hotter than expected inflation print, which should come as no surprise. I think that inflation is heating up a little bit. When the jobs market is this tight, wages are rising, the dollar continues to sink. Trump is a protectionist by nature, although he hasn't slapped tariffs on incoming imports yet. He's definitely using them as leverage. He's jawboning that threat. He's giving Korea, he's put Korea on notice, South Korea. He's put Japan on notice. He's put Germany on notice. He's put China, especially, on notice that, hey, you know what? You want us to buy all your goods, which we are doing. We have a huge trade deficit here in the U.S. That's leading to part of our problem here with our deficits. It's not fair that we're buying your goods and not imposing any kind of an import or export tax on them because they're from another country. Yet you're making it very difficult for us to sell American goods in your countries. It's not fair, and something's got to give. Well, that is inflationary in nature, especially if he follows through with these threats. As I listened to them go around the table yesterday on the infrastructure plan and on trade issues, maybe it was a trade group that was meeting yesterday. They were talking about aluminum and steel and the dumping. Yeah, it was trade. South Korea's dumped a lot of steel on our markets, driving down our steel cost and hurting our steel industry. And many of the senators and congressmen warned Mr. Trump, said, hey, let's not start a trade war because that's going to drive prices up. All of a sudden, we'll be paying more. The automobile industry will be paying more for aluminum and for steel, etc. But I don't think Trump buys that argument. I think he wants fair trade. He's a deal maker. He wants a deal where we can sell our Harley Davidsons in Korea without any kind of barriers because we're taking in their motorcycles and we're not putting barriers on their stuff, which does make sense, you know. It seems like it ought to be fair, but it is inflationary in nature. Okay, the last stock I want to talk about today here. We talked about the economy. We talked about avocados, how guacamole impacts the consumer. Don't forget, too, the consumer's paying higher interest rates today. I see that the 30-year mortgage now, the average is 4.57 now. So it's up a full point. That's 100 basis points. It was down around 3.5. That straps the consumer, especially if they have an adjustable rate mortgage, an ARM. They're going to see a rise in their mortgage payments. It's going to cost them more, and they're going to have less to spend at Chipotle and at the supermarket and at the restaurants around town. So that also is impacting the consumer. It also hits the real estate market. As interest rates rise on that 30-year mortgage, more and more people drop out of the market because they can't afford the monthly payments on those higher interest rates. We're now 100 basis points higher from where we were maybe a year ago. The last stock I want to talk about is one that's been under the microscope here recently, and that's Facebook, FB. There's another disruptor. There's another one you could say is a stock of the decade. They don't quite have 10 years worth of numbers out yet, but actually Facebook can't hold the candle to the returns of Netflix. However, their returns have been pretty good. Over the last 5 years, the returns at Facebook have been 42% per year, while the market's delivered 11.9%. And over the last 3 years, Facebook's delivered 33% per year, while the market's delivered 8%. So about 4 times more than the market, not the 8 or 9 times more that Netflix has averaged. But I do also own Facebook. And my main reason for owning Facebook, I hear all the arguments, and I agree with most of them, that the young people are using Snapchat now and others, and they're not using Facebook as much. But the fact remains that Facebook's expected to make $8.84 in earnings next year. That's a pile of earnings. And the fact remains that over the last 5 years, Facebook's earnings have been growing by 112% per year. Those are some pretty astonishing growth numbers, and yet their stock has not been going up by 112% per year. Therefore, I still calculate value in the shares of Facebook. It has good performance, not the best, but very good performance versus the market. And if Facebook's going to continue to grow at, let's say, 25% per year, think of what those earnings of $8.84 could be 5 years down the road. And you put a reasonable multiple on that earnings power, I have a $355 target price on Facebook, and it's currently trading at $176. Well, we'll continue to track those earnings. We'll continue to track those expectations quarter by quarter, and as the company talks about how things are going, but I continue to own Facebook in my premier growth portfolio. That is the portfolio where GE does not reside, where IBM does not reside. I consider those stocks of yesteryear. They're not the growth engines of today. They're not best stocks now, in other words. Facebook continues to fit that bill. Facebook has dropped in rank, but it's been in my top 100 basically for the last 12 months. And if you look over the last 12 months, Facebook's up 35.4% while the market's up 14.4%. So that's the whole purpose of the Best Stocks Now app, is to point you to the best stocks now. In my opinion, using my formulas, which combine valuation, technical analysis, and momentum, performance, outperforming the S&P 500. That's what it's all about. And you're not going to find that in the stodgy old stocks of yesteryear that are growing by 2 to 3% per year. Well, anyways, listen, you can check out my newsletter. Go to my website, Gunderson Capital. I write a thorough market newsletter every week. And I manage money here. We continue to grow very rapidly at Gunderson Capital Management. A lot of people nowadays want active management, not passive. 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisor. All accounts are held at Scottrade. Scottrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.